I know, just like you guys, you've probably been looking forward to this for a while now. So, just ready to get into this. Lord's put a little something on my heart. I'm going to give you what he gave me, and then I'm going to get out of the way. We'll go to the next. If y'all would turn with me to Genesis chapter 3. If y'all wouldn't mind, if you want to and able, stand for the reading of the word. Genesis chapter 3, and we'll start reading in verse 8. We'll go down to 11. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? We'll go, Lord, in a quick prayer. Dear God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I'm asking that you be with us tonight, Lord. I'm asking that, Lord, I could be your vessel, Lord, and I could give your people the word that you've given me to tell them. God, I'm asking, Lord, that you'd meet with us not only tonight, God, but every service we've got. Lord, we're asking for your hand to lead and guide us, Lord. We're asking that each and every one of us would act as you would have us ask. In Jesus' precious name I ask, amen. The thought that the Lord's placed on my heart was almost kind of like the question to what is the meaning of life? Why are we here? You know, especially it seems like young people, you know, a lot of people know I've got a heart for the young people. It seems like the meaning of life, you know, you only live once. What are we here for? What's God got me on this earth for? What are we going for? Well, I see in this chapter right here that it seems that the garden being a picture of God's perfect plan for this world, I see that in the cool of the day, God came to speak with Adam and Eve. In my opinion, that's the entire meaning of life right there, is to have that relationship and closeness with God. When God would come walking through the garden, he didn't come through just to check out what he made. He came to commune with Adam and Eve. And we find here that when he came to Adam and Eve, they hid from him. Now we know in times before they didn't hide from him, but that God had given them one simple plan, stay away from the tree, don't take this, and there was perfect communion with God. But we find out that through one man, Romans 5:12 tells us that through one man sin entered the world. And after this sin was conceived, that the rules started to change. And we find out that Adam and Eve couldn't talk to God because they had this sin in their heart. We find out that God wanted to talk to them, but that sin kept them from talking back to God. I'm going to read out of Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Romans chapter 8. I'm going to start in verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So we find out that, as Roman tells us, this is the same situation that Adam and Eve found themselves in a situation of following after the lust of the flesh and not seeking after the communion and relationship that God would have for them. We see that that when they looked at this fruit, everybody knows if God just tells you don't sin because of sin, that sounds easy enough. And as God's people, we are to be able to stick on that path. But the problem is there's the flesh that's involved. The problem is sin, that when it's got forth, it brings forth this problem that we all have to deal with. Not only do we have to battle with everything else going on, we have the inward battle with our flesh that we have to go down. Now we see in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, that the serpent came to him, and he said that he was more subtle than any of the creatures that he got. And he said, even though God told you don't take of this fruit, he said, look at the sin, he started to dress it up. And see, there's three things. He said, number one, it's good for food, it's pleasant to the eyes, and it's desired to make one wise. Yeah. Now, I see that the problem that Adam and Eve had, they did not prepare their hearts to seek the Lord. And that's the message that I'm going to try to pass on. Hopefully, all of us are prayed up. Hopefully, all of us have been looking forward to this message. And hopefully, I'm not knocking anybody's doors yet. But if I am, now's the time to get things right. This is the time. We know that Rehoboam, being a king of Israel, we find out 2 Chronicles 12:14 says, he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord.
God.
So I'm saying we've got 3 days set aside, these next three, and I'm wondering if his church is going to be prepared to seek the Lord. Are we preparing in our hearts that we might seek the Lord? The same sin that trapped up Adam and Eve are the same sins that hold us back today. We find out that sin, it looks like it's good. There's something inside of us that says we like this sin. We like to get into it. We like to be a part of it. But we know that's the first thing that got on Eve's doorstep and took her out of God's communion. The second thing, it was pleasant to the eyes. As a church, we look at a lot of things. Things look pretty to us. Next thing you know, we're staring at them. Once we've got our eyes on the pleasantness, we've got our eyes off God. Then we find out we've got our eyes off God. Our heart is turned towards it, and we haven't prepared our heart to seek God's face. The last thing, the desire to make one wise. This wisdom is took a lot of men and thrown them in the ditch because they want that earthly wisdom. They're not seeking godly wisdom. They want earthly wisdom. And we find out that as a church, when we get our minds off the Lord, we get onto something else, we run ourselves into trouble. Proverbs 14:12 said, "There's a way which seemeth right unto the man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." And that's exactly what happens to us. There was a death that took place in the garden when this sin happened. And then all of a sudden, the whole rules, it took Jesus Christ coming down and dying upon the cross for us to be able to have this communion. That's everything God wants, is to be able to speak with us. And church, the Lord's wanting to speak with us this week. There's eternal decisions that the Lord wants us to make. And as our part, we need to seek God's face and desire that we're going to do these things. Now, as I was reading, the Lord was kind of wrestling with me, and I kind of went through 15 different ways to get this thing. And I'm going to read Mark chapter 10. In Mark 10:17 through 22. "And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, 'Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?' And Jesus said unto him, 'Why callest thou me good? There is none good, but that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and thy mother.' And he answered unto him and said, 'Master, all these things have I observed from my youth.' Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, 'One thing thou lackest: go thy way, sell whatsoever thou have, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up thy cross, and follow me.' And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions." And as I was reading this, pertaining to seeking God's face, is that you don't have to have possessions. There could be little things. And I'm asking the church tonight, is there something that's keeping us from seeking God's face? I'm asking the young people, God don't care how many memory verses you got. God don't care how many times you've been to Sunday school. God don't care who your daddy is. We know Rehoboam, who he said he did evil. His granddaddy was David, the great King David of Israel. It doesn't matter. But as a young person, I'm asking you, is your heart prepared? David said, "My heart is fixed." He had his heart fixed on the Lord. I'm asking the church tonight, are we prepared to fix our heart? Are we prepared to do the things that's going to get us in this relationship with God? I see the young man came up talking to Jesus. He didn't have his heart prepared when he came and talked to him. He knew the word. He'd heard the sermons. He'd heard the messages. But his heart wasn't prepared to seek God. Now, I can say this as a personal testimony. I grew up in Fellowship Baptist Church. The Bread of Life camp meeting happened every year. I was able to hear a lot of great men of God come through there. But I'm wondering if I was completely honest with myself, did I have my heart completely fixed on the Lord? I'm challenging all the young people, take advantage of the great men of God that's going to stand before you this week. Take advantage of the pastor that God has placed in your heart. Try to get everything you can out of him. There's stuff that I can remember from a child that's helping me even to this day. You guys have this opportunity in this meeting. We don't have to drive halfway across the country. We've got good men of God that's going to be speaking in the next couple days. So as young men, when you come, I'm also wondering, maybe do we got any that need to meet the master tonight? Maybe we've got some young kids that's getting old. When we find out that can you speak to God, we find out that Adam and Eve had to hide themselves because they had that sin. I'm wondering how many young people are coming to a point in their life when they realize, I can't talk to God because of what I've done. I know I'm in Sunday school. I sing in the youth choir. Everybody thinks I'm saved. I might even be a member of the church. But can you really talk to God? Can you have a situation where you meet Jesus and you can say, I can speak to you because my heart's right. That, again, that is the only, that is the reason Jesus Christ came to this earth and died on a cross, is so that we could commune with God. God wants to speak with us, church. So I'm going to go start wrapping this thing up. Hopefully I didn't go over my time limits. I've got some parting scripture I'd like to give you guys to wrap this thing up. Isaiah 55:6 says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. We don't know what tomorrow brings. We don't know what's going to happen tonight. Young person, old person, person who's been sitting and listening to the preaching, you say, hey, this is just the first night of this camp meeting. I've got till tomorrow. But we've got Victor Burkhardt, a great man of God, looking forward to hearing from him. I'm just going to get saved when he stands up. We're going to have the youth come up here on Saturday. I'm just going to deal with it then. We don't know if we've got him. Seek him while he may be found. We got to get him while he's near. We don't know what we got tomorrow. Psalms 32:9 says, be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held with a bit and a bridle, lest they come near. Now, this doesn't mean God doesn't want to make you speak to him. God's not saying if he has to make you go to church, we've got a problem. If you have to be made sing in the choir, we've got a problem. If you have to be made to do stuff with your church, God said, I don't want to have to put the bit in your mouth. I don't want to have to put the bridle. Now, he will sometimes, but I just assume stay away from the bit if I ain't got to take it and just seek God's face. Pastor Callahan was with us when we met on Monday for prayer, and he got into this verse. I'm going to quote it again. It says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. Church, we got a problem in our land tonight. We've got a problem. You guys don't have to look very far out our front door. We've got a drug problem that's killing people. And I'm saying it starts here with us. It starts with God's people. Are we seeking after God's face? Are we seeking what he would have? When we get ourselves right in the home, we can get stuff right everywhere else. When we get it right in the home, we can get it right in the church. When we get it right in the church, we can get it right in the community. We get it right in the community, we can get our country set back on the path it needs to go. So the last Psalms 139, this is David saying, search me, O God, and know my heart, and try me, know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So it's my way of closing, wrapping up the precious time I was given. Just if we can pray that prayer, just search me, O God. Search my heart. What is in it? What do I need to do? What do I need to do this week? Is there a song that God's got on my heart to sing? Is there a testimony that God's got on my heart? There might be somebody here looking for something. You may have what he needs. It might be in a song. It might be in a testimony. It might be in a message. If God puts it on your heart, that's the time to get it. So my last walking out of here, search my heart, O God. Let us know. Let us remember Rehoboam did evil in the eyes of the Lord because he prepared not his heart. So my challenge to the church and the people sitting through this meeting, prepare your heart to see God. He wants to meet with us, and he's going to do some mighty things.
Amen.
Thank you for your time.
Amen. Good to be in God's house. Appreciate the message so far. Appreciate the Spirit, everything that God's done. Turn with us to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. I have already enjoyed being here. You say, why have you enjoyed it? Because I felt the power of God. It's been good to be in God's house. We want to preach something that God's laid on my heart tonight for this service in this hour, and I really believe this tonight. I'm very serious about this matter. When it comes to preaching, it's very important that we preach what God gives us to preach. This isn't about you or me. This is about what God wants us to hear as a church. This is a camp meeting that God has put together. This ain't something that we've designed. God has led us and allowed us to be here. So I believe God wants to tell us something. Don't you? I believe he just told us some things. We ought to listen to what God has to say. Luke chapter number 24. Stand with us if you're able tonight. We want to start reading with verse 49. Luke 24. Start reading with verse 49. And the Bible said, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And they led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. That's the scripture. I want to preach tonight on that thought where the Lord said, wait until you be endued with power. We do know tonight that we can do nothing without the power of God. I want to say tonight, I'll say it again, we can do nothing without the power of God. I know we live in a time that folks think they can do things without God's power or approval. Well, I'll say tonight, you can do things without God's approval, but you'll never praise or glorify Him without His approval tonight. There takes power that God has to give you. I'm glad that when God gives a man power, you can do something with God's power tonight. In Matthew chapter 22, this is what the Bible said in 22 and 29. This was talking about the resurrection. Now the Bible said the Sadducees erred in the resurrection. They were wrong about that. They didn't understand that. And Jesus said this, you do err not knowing the scripture nor the power of God. Ain't that right tonight? Well, that's what's wrong with most of our churches. They don't know the scripture nor the power of God. So most of the time, if you don't know the scripture tonight or the power of God, how can you be right about the things of God? Amen. Well, I just want to say tonight, I'm glad that whatever's done, we're here to worship God. We're here to serve Him. What are you doing here, preacher? I'm just waiting on the power. Amen tonight. Because I'm telling you, we just got to do what God tells us to do. We've met here in the upper room, and we're worshiping and praising God and waiting on Him. Amen. Woo! Amen. The power of God is something, listen, we ought to be thankful for tonight. The Bible said they waited for the power of God. Now Jesus said here, He said, go to Jerusalem and wait till you're endued with power. Amen. Well, when they got to Jerusalem, they went to the upper room, and listen, it was a 10-day span. It didn't happen immediately. You say, preacher, I'm waiting for great things to happen right now. Well, they are happening. You just might not recognize it now, but they are happening. But it's going to get better, because I'm telling you tonight, when you meet with God, God will meet with you. And who knows what God does when He fills the house. Matter of fact, when He fills a room, you say, what's it mean to be filled with the Spirit of God? That means ain't no room for nothing else. There ain't no room for jealousy. There ain't no room for strife. There ain't no room for pride. Get the junk out and let God fill the room. This is how we ought to come together tonight. We've met together to worship the Lord. Amen. I'm just waiting on Him, but I feel good tonight. As you say, preacher, can God say? He can say. He can say by His power. There's no power in me. There's no power in you tonight. The only power we got is what God gives us, and God wants us to use it for Him. Amen. There's power in creation tonight. God created all things. And He created me and you. In the beginning there was nothing, but God stepped out on nothing and made something. Oh, I don't believe nobody's got that power. Well, you don't believe God then. Well, He hung the stars and the moon, and He made everything you're walking on, and everything that you see tonight, He made it by His power. For the Lord of the Lord. The Bible said He spoke it by the breath of the Lord. It was all in existence. He had the power to breathe it in existence. I'm just here to tell you tonight, if it wasn't for the power of God, there'd be no life in you. Amen.
Matter of fact, when God created man, he created him from the dust of the earth.
Amen.
And then he breathed into his nostrils power. I feel good to become a living soul. I tell you tonight, in your flesh there's no power by itself. Matter of fact, the power that God gave you, only thing your body doing is a housing it. Now God ain't going to force you and me to do anything, but when God gives us certain power, and matter of fact, God gives us a power of faith. And what God gives you, he wants you to use it for his glory, not yours. You better be careful what you do with what God gives you. Amen. We're a living soul tonight. If you notice in the, when we go to a funeral home, listen, all you see there is the house. But Brother Kevin Penny, before that man or woman or boy or girl died, there was something in them that gave them the power to make decisions and make choices. I'm going to say tonight, we have made a decision tonight, and we have made a choice. What is your decision, and what is your choice? Well, for me and my house, we're going to serve God. And listen, when you do that, you might not be popular with the world, but you'll have power with God. I'm giving him everything I got because he gave it to me to begin. I'm telling you tonight, if somebody gets saved during this camp meeting, it's going to be because of the power of the gospel. There's power in the gospel tonight. And listen, I'm glad when the gospel's being preached, it's preached with power. That's why the Bible said, listen, he told there, Paul said, hey, my speech and preaching not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit in what? Power. That's your faith when I stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. I want to say, I'm so tired of listening to teaching. I want to hear some preaching. And when you get preaching, brother, there's power in it. So who's your favorite preacher? Whoever's got the power. Amen. Because what is that important, preacher? Because the power of the gospel can move hearts. Because the power of gospel can change lives. How do you know? It changed me. And it changed you. I'm telling you tonight, there's power in the gospel. Everybody wants power and authority tonight. The man sitting in the White House tonight didn't get there by his own. Now, he liked to say that he did, but God allowed him to be there. God's still in control of this thing, Larry Waters. He's got the power tonight. He's got the power to give life, and he's got the power to take life. When God moves in his power, hey, listen, it's not when the Spirit of God moves in the power of the Spirit. Listen, it's not about glorifying man tonight. Man, I feel like running tonight. Well, I've just met an upper room with my brothers and sisters that's decided to be here than rather somewhere else. And we're here tonight because we want to see you born again by the Spirit of God. We need help. We need strength. We need encouragement. And that power comes from God. That's why we're here. I'm not here. I'll just be honest, if I didn't get to preach this week, it'd have been all right with me. But since I am, I'm going to give you what God gave me. It ain't, there's no jealousy if your heart's right with God. There ain't room for it. Because I want to be filled with the Spirit of God. And the only way I can do that is praise Him. You know why I can feel the Spirit of God right good? Because I got to praise Him before I got here. Somebody said, I'll wait until I get to church and praise Him and hope God shows up. You might have waited too late. Woo. But I'm glad there's power. There's power in this church tonight. The devil's scared from the death. Because it's a good place for somebody to get saved. It's a good place for somebody to quit holding back and start giving God their all. Yeah. Listen to me tonight. If God wants us to do something, we better get about the Father's business and start doing it. We ain't got much time. And when God calls a man to preach, He'll give him power. It pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that would believe. The preaching of the cross is foolishness unto them to believe. But what is it? The power of God unto salvation. Man, I tell you, one of the greatest things we can see. Now, I'm here to get help, and I'm a getting it, and I got it. But I'll tell you what will help us better than anything is to see some broken heart tonight said, I'm tired of fighting against the will of God, and I'm throwing the towel tonight. I'm giving my all because He gave me all, and I'm tired of running. And God will save you tonight if you just listen, turn to Him. He's got the power to do it. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Power, power, wonder-working power. In the blood of the Lamb, there's power. Power, wonder-working power. In the precious blood of the Lamb. Ain't you glad there's power in the blood tonight? I tell you, there's power in His Word. There's power in the Spirit. But I'm glad there's power in the blood. Amen. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And when God saves you, He washes you white as snow. Though your sin be as scarlet, they shall be made as white. Though it be red like crimson, they shall be made like wool. Amen. Ain't you glad He can take an old filthy wretched sinner and make him white? Woo! I tell you what He done for us, He can do for you. Oh, you should believe that? Yes, I do. Well, the God that saved me, that got the power to save me, He has the power to save you. What about you tonight? I'm just here to see what God's going to do. It's all up to us what we do with it tonight. Now, we can get in this or in this thing, or we can just come show up. But I'm telling you, I believe God called us here for a purpose tonight. I believe that. And I'll tell you what, Brother Larry, I just want to work together. I don't want to work apart no more. I want to just work with you. You work with me. Now, sometimes we have to separate ourselves because of sin or whatever. But I'm telling you tonight, listen, I don't want to quench the spirit or the power in my life. And we need one another tonight. Oh, I don't need you. I do need you. I'm just going to be honest with you. Those who are out of will of God tonight, I might not be able to walk where you're walking now or go where you go, but if you get your heart right, I need you. And I need you now. Are you kidding, right? I tell you tonight, you said, preacher, I've been messed up so bad, I ain't got the power to fix it. That's exactly right. You don't have the power, but God has the power. Won't you let Him take care of it? There's power. Blood tonight. There's power in it. Amen. Matter of fact, the devils hate it. Yes, sir. I remember talking to a so-called Satanist. He said, well, I worship Satan. I said, I worship a God that saves through the power of the blood. Yeah. Man, you ought to seen him run. I didn't like that. Amen. Because there's power in the blood. Yeah. There's power in the blood. I'm telling you now, it doesn't matter what you've done. Jesus can cleanse you up in the blood of Jesus Christ. Man, ain't it good to be saved tonight? Ain't it good to be able to feel that power? I'm telling you tonight, for somebody here lost, you can have what we're having. Amen. It's not limited to us preachers. I love every one of these preachers. Matter of fact, I love you so much, I come and open the door for you. I clean your car. You know what you got to do? It's holler. I'll do it. I wash your feet. I'll clean your shoes. It don't matter what you need done. I'll do it. Why? Because I love you tonight. Not only them, but anybody else. Because, listen, God saved me, and he gave me power to humble myself. I couldn't do that if God didn't give me the power. Somebody said, I couldn't do that. If God give you the power to do it, you can. Now, power of God is conditional. You got to meet certain requirements to have power with God. Submit yourself unto God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. You say, oh, the devil's giving me a hard time. He only is if you ain't submitting. Brother Donald, if a man submits, he can look the devil in the eye and say, get away. And he ain't got no choice but to go. Brother Victor Burkhart, man, I feel good tonight. Because I'm telling you, there ain't nothing more wonderful to me than to feel the anointing power of God. Listen, I don't worry about having my names in neon lights or people patting me on the back or having a bunch of meetings. I'm just glad to be where the Spirit of God is. I'm just glad the Lord lives in me and I'm in him. I'm just glad to meet the condition that he can meet with me. Amen. I tell you tonight, you say, preacher, I'd like to have power with God. Well, then submit yourself unto God and watch God do the rest. This camp meeting tonight, boy, I feel good about this. Get ready for a song. The Lord loves you tonight. We've met here for one purpose. And I can feel it in the church tonight. Boy, God's wanting to do something. Matter of fact, there's some folks met some conditions tonight. They left all the world outside. Now, if you're going to worship God, you've got to worship him in the spirit and in the truth. You say, preacher, I want to get filled with that power. I want to be dude with power. Well, the Bible said they went to Jerusalem and they tarried there. They tarried there 10 days before the Lord filled the upper room. But while they was waiting, they was a praying and a praising. Now, I just don't want God to bless the front row. I just don't want to see the front girl get happy or the three rows back get happy. I want to see them get happy from the front to the back. He said, preacher, that's how it used to be in old days. Hey, that's how it can be today. God ain't changed a bit. The reason God's power ain't moving in the church, we ain't meeting the conditions. If you meet the conditions, God will bless you. What's a condition? Obedience. After obedience, prepare for the blessing. Because I'm telling you tonight, once you obey God, once you do what God tells you, you say, preacher, this is a camp meeting. I don't want to get anybody's way. Hey, it's time you quit getting out of the way and start getting in the way. Because I'm talking about, listen, you can get out of the way. Listen, in this room, you can get out of the way by getting in the way. But I'm glad when you get in the way. Listen, Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. You say, preacher, what's that mean? I'm going to tell you something. You're sitting there saying, I can't, I can't, I can't. If you get in God's will tonight, God says, you can, I can, and you can if I help you. And if you don't have God's power, you're wasting your time. Amen. What about you tonight? Get a song.